Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we prepare to listen to God's word and meditate on what he is saying to us, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus is now ruling over all things as Lord. Thank you that he has poured out his Holy Spirit, and I pray that today you would pour out your Holy Spirit on what I say, so that your people may hear your word, and I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on our hearts and minds as we meditate on your word and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Sisters and brothers, today I'm going to talk about relationship and reconciliation. Now, if those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago may remember that I talked about relationship as the key kind of foundational principle of the Christian faith, that God was in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the beginning of the world. But what happens when relationships don't go so well? Well, that's where the whole idea of reconciliation comes in. So today I'm going to tell you a parable. I'm excited about that one. You might not be. I'm going to look at relationship and reconciliation as the heart of the gospel, the very essence of the good news that Jesus brings to us, and going to have a little bit of a look at a thing called the slippery slope of conflict. Now, if you are a teacher here, you might have heard some of this stuff before, but there's also some new stuff. So hopefully you'll be able to keep interested. Relationship is really, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and we'll say again many times, relationship is at the heart of what our faith is about. And when you think about it, there's actually four different relationships for which human beings are created, four different levels or aspects of relationship. And I wonder if you guys can think of what those four different aspects of relationship are, or the four different sets of relationships that we're called to as God's people. This is not a trick question. Feel free to answer. Okay, what was that, Mel? Okay, so relationship with other human beings. That's incredibly important. God said, let us make humans in our own image. And part of that image is being able to relate, and hopefully to relate well, to the people that God has created for us to love. Excellent. That's actually my second one. What other relationships might there be? Sylvia?
Relationship to self.
Oh, yes, she got it. That was the one that I thought people might not get. Relationship to self. Okay, that's very good. What might the other two be? No, you've already answered. Give someone else a go. Oh, very good. Thank you, Tim. Relationship with God. And one more. Yes, relationship with God's world, the world that God created. You can think of these relationships as the vertical one, so us and God, with other human beings, the horizontal relationship, with God's world, or a global relationship, a relationship of stewardship, and with self, the internal relationship. So when you think of the world and God and everything in it, I think that about covers pretty much everything, hopefully. But when relationships don't work right, when there is conflict, when there is a breakdown in relationship, it can actually be really devastating to us. And people fear conflict or seek to escape from it or whatever. What we find is that because relationships are so important to God, that the heart of his mission for us and for the world through Jesus is reconciliation. And reconciliation is about the repair of relationships. Now, when you think in this kind of model, sin, that word that Christians love to use, and it's kind of a churchy word that is code for something, but sin does not mean the bad things that we do. Sin actually means, yes, the behavior, but also the thoughts and the words that damage relationships. And so God's Ten Commandments, for instance, are not a bunch of random rules that he's dropped on us from heaven, like, you know, you can't throw the ball in AFL, you can only handball it. They're actually all about relationships. And God is in the business of reconciliation, relationship repair. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, think about that one. What does that tell you about the nature of God himself? And there's a very obvious answer, but surely there's more to it than that as well. What does this say about what God is like? If peacemakers are called children of God, the obvious answer is that... What was that, Charlotte? Nikki? Children are like their parents in some aspects, right? So God is a peacemaker. Our Heavenly Father is one who longs to reconcile and to build relationships. And when we look around our world with the horrific things that have happened in the past week, the bombing in Manchester, refugee crisis, lots of other things, we go, wow, there's a lot of broken relationships. The world needs peacemakers. Reconciliation is the primary purpose of God's mission through Jesus. This is what it's all about. Taking people who are enemies and making them friends. Enemies of God become friends of God. People who have had a relationship breakdown with one another are restored. Or situations that actually damage relationships are fixed to some degree. This is actually my favorite verse in the entire Bible. I know that I say that I have a lot of favorite verses, but this is the one which kind of defines my life. It's my life verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says this: "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Did you hear it? When we were God's enemies, he did the work of coming to us through Jesus and reconciling us. When we were sinners, Christ took on our sin. Remember, that's about broken relationship, so that we could be friends of God. You are God's friends. You are God's friends. He not only loves you deeply, he actually actively likes you and wants you to be intimate with him. And that's right at the very heart of the gospel. So now I'm going to tell you a story. Jesus loved to tell stories. I like to tell stories. For some people, this one will work, and for some, it won't. This is the parable of the air ratchet. Once upon a time, there was a man who went to a local European supermarket, which shall remain nameless, which sometimes has specials in the middle aisle. And in that supermarket, he found an air ratchet tool for a very cheap price. And he bought the tool and he was happy. And the man used the tool to unscrew some bolts in the Mini that he was working on, and the man was happy. But unfortunately, at some point, the air ratchet tool that he bought for such good price stopped working. It was not turning any more bolts. And the man was sad. Now, what are some of the responses that the man could... This, again, is not a hypothetical question. Throw them in here. What are some of the responses that the man could have to the air ratchet tool not working? I can see some of the guys down the front going, "Yeah, I know what I'd do." Tim, throw it in the bin. Useless piece of...
Yeah.
junk. Yeah. Not worth the money I spent on it, even though it was on special. Chuck. All right, what are some other possibilities?
Might throw it through the front window. I've said European.
Ah, there's one. I'd never thought of that. You stupid store, you sold me a piece of junk. All right, what else? What else could the man do with his air ratchet?
Politely return it.
Oh, okay. Return it politely and ask for your money back. Silv, you could try and fix it. We'll get to that. What about, is that a hand? Sorry, what's your name?
Bailey.
Resell it? Oh, okay. Make it someone else's problem. I like that. I hadn't thought of that. Very creative. What about, put it in the bottom drawer and kind of forget about it. Never use it again. Yeah, could do that. What about, keep using it because it actually still works as a ratchet, but just ignore the fact that it's actually pretty useless compared to what it's meant to be able to do. Could I do that? Not me, this man, this hypothetical man. All right. However, the man decided not to throw the air ratchet through the front window of the European supermarket or any of those other options, but actually to spend the time to take it apart and fix it. And the man took the air ratchet apart, and he found out that it was slightly more complicated inside than he thought it might have been. And he looked on the internet to work out how it worked. And he put it, and he looked again, and he went, I think there's a little bit missing. And he found a bit to replace that bit that was missing, and he put it back together, and it still didn't work. So he took it apart again and looked at it again, and went, I know why it's not working. And he put it back together, and he understood the workings, and this time, the air ratchet worked. And the man was happy. And all the people at church said, well, that was a very entertaining story, Pastor, but please tell us the meaning of the parable. Okay, it's actually more of an allegory, and those of you who are English teachers will know what that means. Imagine the ratchet is a relationship. And you can get into a relationship and things go well for a while and it works like it should and that's all good. And then some kind of conflict comes up and it's not working like it was meant to. And when that happens, you have a variety of responses possible to conflict. But as Christians, we're called to respond to conflict remarkably differently from the way that the world responds to conflict. And I'm actually going to look at the slippery slope of conflict now. There's escape responses, and I want you to think of it in terms of what we said about what the man could do and say with the air ratchet. There's attack responses, and there's peacemaking responses. Okay, so if I said, this air ratchet is not working, I'm going to hurl it through the front window of the European supermarket. What kind of response do you think that would be?
Attack!
Absolutely.
Peacemaking.
Not much peace there. What would be the analog of that in a relationship? Just attack, just break it. Someone else's fault. Schmack.
Publish very nasty.
Oh, okay. We could publish nasty things on the internet. We could do a review on Google of the air ratchet and go, this is useless, don't buy it. Yeah? What kind of response would that be? Where would that fall here? Attack again. Okay, what about the one where you go, oh yeah, you know, it's $25, I'll just put it in the bottom of the drawer, it doesn't really matter. Shall it?
Escape,
yeah. Or what about the one where I go, yeah, you know what, it still works, I can still undo bolts with it. That's escape as well. And what would be kind of the analog of that in a relationship, do you reckon? Self? Okay, so you could try and keep going with the relationship and go, you know what, it still kind of works. It's really hard, but it kind of works. Yeah? Or you could just ignore it and say, pretend there's no conflict there at all. I'm going to put the ratchet down now. And I will wash my hands before I serve Holy Communion. I'm just going to look a little bit more closely at these responses because I think it's important for us in our relationships to recognize where do we fall on the slippery slope and where would we like to be? Where would it be godly to be? Escape responses are peace faking, pretending that things are all right when they're really not. So some of those include denial, It's okay. I'll just keep using it. There's not really a problem. Or flight. Let's just get out of the situation. Let's throw the thing in the bin and forget about it. Or, in extreme cases, suicide. When things and conflicts get so severe that we just can't handle it anymore. But suicide might not just be about death of ourselves. It might be about the death of the relationship as well. So those are the escape responses. Now, I've got to say here, there are times when flight is a legitimate response to conflict. There are limited times when it is actually the best thing that you can do to completely get out of the relationship. And if the relationship is an abusive one, then that is the prime response, get yourself safe. But if it's a work relationship or if it's something that's not actually life-threatening, then these responses are not actually ultimately helpful. Going to flick through those ones. On the other side of the ledger, we have the attack responses. The creative responses of hurl it through the window, which I didn't think of, or sell it on eBay and make it someone else's problem, which I also didn't think of. That's very good. These are peace-breaking responses. So when a relationship is in conflict, you attack. You try and hurt the other person back. And some of those include assault. So firing off that nasty email, putting a nasty review on Google. Assault can be verbal, it can be physical. So really taking it out on the other person. Litigation, take it to a higher authority so that you can get your way. I could sue that European supermarket because they sold me something that wasn't fit for purpose and it didn't work very well. I could make it their problem. Or, at the very extreme end of the spectrum, murder. Now, I hope and pray that none of us would actually be guilty of physically murdering someone. But remember that Jesus said, if anyone hates someone else in their heart, they've already committed murder against them in their heart. So Jesus sets the bar pretty high here. But God calls us to not to fake the peace or break the peace, but actually to be people who can make peace. Because you know what? No matter what it costs, no matter how worthless it might seem, God loves relationships. He cares about them. Someone could have said to the hypothetical man that was in my parable before, man, it's ridiculous for you to spend the time to try and fix that thing. It's not actually worth it. If you add up the time that you put into it versus the cost, it's not worth it. But I like it. And I want to fix it, and I want to make it right. And when we're in relationship conflict, it's probably easy to say, you know what, it's easier either just to walk away or to attack. It's not worth the effort to fix it. But God doesn't think that way. He thinks that relationships are always worth the effort. Love God, love your neighbor. Those are the two, love God, love your neighbor, the two most important commandments. All right, so peacemaking responses. Reconciliation, God works to fix things, even when they look like a whole pile of junk to us. And we've got two categories here. Personal peacemaking, which is something that you can do just between the two people who are in conflict, and assisted peacemaking, where you get some help. And in personal peacemaking, the first one is graciously overlook. Now, this is actually a quiet act of forgiveness. It's for things that are small and are not really damaging the relationship. Someone let off a remark, you felt a bit like, where did that come from? But you went, actually, you know what? I don't need to let that affect the relationship. I can forgive, that's fine. Now, overlooking is different from denial. Overlooking is saying, yes, something went wrong, but it's actually not damaging me too much, and I can forgive and live with it. Secondly, reconciliation. Now, this is where you actually go to the other person and you repair the relationship. You say, these are the things that I've done wrong. These are the things I think you've done wrong. Let's work it out together. We had a wonderful PD for our teachers by a man called Dave Weingrad, who works with restorative practice. And he said, I think this sums it up really well, but four Fs when you're in conflict. Face up, so recognize that there's a problem. Fess up, confess what you've done to contribute to the conflict. Fix up, make it right. Finished, or I would like to say, forgiven. And this is the heart of the work that God does for us through Jesus. Then there might be negotiation, which is working out a good settlement of the problem in terms of material things. On this side, assisted peacemaking, mediation, where you get a third party to help you with it. You know, this is the point where my analogy completely breaks down because, you know, I don't know how that works with an air ratchet. Maybe I get a mechanic or someone who's a bit more skilled than me to help me look at it and take it apart. But yeah, all analogies fail at some point, and this one fails right there. Adjudication is where you get a third party who gives a binding decision. And finally, accountability is kind of the most, the strongest response in terms of assisted peacemaking, where you have to stay accountable to the decision that was made. When you think of relationships, where do you think you often fall? On which side or which part of the slope when a conflict happens? Can I just embarrass people and get you to say, I most often go towards escape or attack or peacemaking, okay? So who most often goes first response, conflict, towards the escape side of things? I'm definitely like that, yep. Who first goes to the attack kind of side of things? All right, we've got a few, watch out for those guys. But you know what? Often those of us who escape, who deny, who flee, often we will swing really suddenly off to the attack response because it'll just get bottled up inside us. Who thinks that most often you go to a peacemaking response? Yeah, sometimes. Okay, God calls us, blessed are the peacemakers. So to be able to be in that middle zone where we're handling things in a way that restores relationships and builds the peace rather than breaking the peace. How can we become more skilled at peacemaking? The first and most important way is to recognize the depth of the reconciliation that God has gone to with us through Jesus. We have done stuff to God and to others that has damaged relationships, and yet God keeps coming back with his forgiveness and with his love and with his friendship and says, you are my child, I love you, I gave my son for you, I'm not holding your sins against you, you are forgiven, I love you, you are reconciled, we're not enemies anymore. God just keeps on coming back to do that for us. And that is the power for personal peacemaking, that we have been brought to peace with God through what Jesus has done. We can live in that forgiveness. We don't have to seek revenge or the destruction of the relationship or the other person. Then we might need also some skilling up, a bit of training, a bit of help with recognizing either where we are on the slippery slope. Hopefully now that I've described it for you, you can think about it the next time that you have a conflict and go, where am I falling to? Where would I like to be? And maybe you need some training and some help and some skill with that. And that's okay, because these are things that we need to learn. Like my hypothetical man had to learn how the interior workings of an air ratchet worked. I have a pamphlet called Peacemaking Principles, which I would love to share with you if you're interested in that. And it gives this tool and a whole lot of other tools that we can help in relationship repair. There's also a book called The Peacemaker, which is one of the best, most powerful books I've ever read. If anyone wants to borrow a copy, if there's a particular conflict that you're facing that you'd like some help with, it would be really good to read some of those chapters. And also, I have been trained as a Christian conflict coach. That means if you're in the middle of a conflict and you don't see your way through it, I would love to help. And that's actually part of the ambassador of Christ kind of thing that God calls us to as his people, is to help other people repair relationships, be safe, know that they are loved. Right, this is kind of a teaching sermon. So that's about what I want to say. First of all, I want you to remember you are reconciled to God through Christ. Secondly, blessed are the peacemakers. Another translation for that word is, oh, how happy you are if you can be a peacemaker. And this world needs peacemakers. And if our church were full of people who were skilled at making peace, we'll never get it right all the time, but if we were skilled at making peace in our personal lives and in the wider world, what a marvelous impact that could have for the sake of the kingdom of God. So that's about what I want to say, but I do want to give you time for question, comment, or criticism, constructive criticism, of the stuff that we've looked at today. Sylv.
So what difference between involve a third?
Excellent question. Adjudication is where both of the parties in the conflict have agreed that they will go to a separate authority and they will agree to whatever that authority says. Whereas often in litigation, it's more of an attack thing where you try and win the conflict in your way. So the other person doesn't necessarily agree to litigation. It would be very rare, for instance, that Aldi would agree to being sued by me because their air ratchet wasn't fit for purpose. Okay, so that's, there's an agreement and a mutual process. Great question. Yes.
Opened it up. Does that mean we have to open our partners up to try and...
That's a great question, and that's actually where we can get a little bit more from the analogy. Relationships are complex, okay? And in no way am I trying to suggest that a relationship is as easy to fix as an air ratchet. But if we understand the working of it, if we understand how the relationship works, and particularly what the other person's interests are, like what's going on for them, how can I be compassionate to them, what's this like for what's going on for them, sometimes we find that there's a missing piece in the relationship. It might be trust, it might be better communication, it might be repentance or forgiveness, or saying, you know, I did something wrong, I hurt you, I'm sorry.
What's repentance
is where we recognize that we've actually done something that hurts a relationship. And we take the responsibility for it and say that we're sorry and we try and fix up the damage that was caused. Does that make sense? Yep. And it's something that God calls us to as people who belong to Jesus all the time. God calls us back to repentance and to realize, hey, I stuffed up there, or I deliberately did that and it hurt this relationship and I need to make it right. Does that make sense? I'm sorry I'm using churchy jargon, and thank you for calling me on that. That's really good.
That's something that you would have. He never gave up on that. That potential wasn't just useless. Sometimes it's easy to just write other people off and see them as no longer. Whereas in your...
I'll call it nasty.
Even when a relationship is broken beyond repair, it doesn't mean that we need to see the other person or the relationship itself as a worthless piece of junk. We can still treat the person with respect, even if we are not able to physically be in their presence anymore. And we do that by not slandering them, you know, not writing nasty emails, or doing our best to uphold the humanity of that person, even if the relationship cannot be repaired. Does that make that kind of what you're talking about? All of these things, except for this one, which you can do by yourself, all of these require mutual response, like each person being willing to be part of the process. And sometimes someone is not willing. Sometimes the ratchet can't be fixed. Okay, that's great. I will have this a link to this up on the website and probably on the app. You really should get the app. It's getting better and better. Our church app, but My hope and prayer is that you can become more and more skilled as peacemakers as you live as people who've been brought to peace with God through Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we fail to realize just how far you have gone through Jesus to reconcile us to yourself. Please may that deep truth sink in, and please may you help us to live out of the forgiveness that you give to us in being peacemakers with others. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in every person who is connected with this church, that we may become more and more skilled at peacemaking in our personal lives and in the world around us. For the sake of God's kingdom and the glory of Jesus, in his name, amen.